excited about the next few months. Because first of all, we're going to do a series on the temptations. We started last week on a clear day, you could see forever, got into the wilderness of temptation. For the next month of April and May, I'm going to look at temptation. Next week is feet of clay. The following week, we're going to how to handle temptation. We're going to look at the devil, the author of temptation, the demons, demon possession, and then music, the devil's delusion, which I challenge you to have your teenagers here because they won't like me much after, but probably down the line they will. So on music, the devil's delusion. Then we're going to get into guilt, how to handle it. We're going to look at the gospel for 4 weeks in a row on how to handle guilt. So I'm excited about the next few months. I don't know about you, but I am. And I just want to get the word out so you'll get the word out and tell your friends and your neighbors and people that are having struggles, you need to get on the phone and get them here for the next few months because we're going to handle this problem because we cannot go any further in the life of Christ without getting at the problem of temptation and how to handle it. We're going to look at some real touchy subjects. For instance, it's a four-letter word, lust. How do you handle it? And so we're going to have some exciting messages for you, for your friends, for your neighbors, for your non-Adventist neighbors. We want you to tell them to come, invite them, and bring them to our service. Proud hearts and dirty feet. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Father God, we pray now you'll send your Holy Spirit to guide us and direct us. We come now to this very important subject, and we want to understand what you're saying about servanthood. Teach us thy will and thy way and give us power and strength in our lives to accept it, and to follow through and come to grips with it. In Jesus' name, amen. For over 20 years now, I've been studying deeply, involved in a very serious study of the life of Jesus Christ. And in all my studies, I found only one place where Jesus Christ, in his own words, describes his inner self. Only one place where he describes the inner man, Christ Jesus. In doing so, two words emerge from my reading. Unlike Hollywood celebrity, these two words are not fabulous and fantastic, the Son of Man. Wise and powerful, the Son of Man. Super and star, the Son of Man. Unlike the theologians, he doesn't use words like holy and eternal, the Son of Man. Omniscient, omnipresent, the Son of Man. All-knowing, absolute deity. He does not use those words, but he uses words that would shock us and startle us. Turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew the 11th chapter, and if you didn't bring your Bible, shame on you after I've been here so long. But there's a Bible under the pew, by the way, if you're visiting with us. And we want you to feel at home, so we have a Bible provided. I want you to turn with me in your Bibles or in our Bibles to the 11th chapter of the Gospel of St. Matthew. And I want you to look at verses 28 through 29. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. He says, I am gentle. He says, I'm humble at heart. And they are servant terms. Describing the inner man, Jesus Christ says he is a servant. The word gentle in the Bible is a very interesting word, at least in the original language. It's a word that describes a stallion. A wild stallion who has been tamed. Humble means lowly. It's a word picture of a helper. And so when he says, I am gentle, it is not a gentleness, an insipid gentleness that has no strength, but rather a wild stallion who has divinity bridled. When he says humble, he does not mean the humility that eats humble pie because they have a fear of consequences, but it's a humility of a helper serving others. Now, these two terms are exhibited exactly and perfectly in John's Gospel, and I want you to turn with me to John's Gospel, to the 13th chapter here, when he talks about proud hearts and dirty feet. Now, it is incomprehensible to me, as a minister of the Gospel, unthinkable and incomprehensible that the Creator who washed the earth with 10,000 spring showers, that the Creator who spoke into existence and filled the cisterns with living water, that the God of creation, who is living, would use a basin and a towel and wash disciples' feet to reveal the characteristics of a Christ-like person. Divinity with a towel. God on his knees. Serving the thoughtless, serving the proud, serving the self-centered disciples. It is incomprehensible. Look at here in John 13 where he describes the scene of the helper. He describes the scene of the gentle. He describes the scene of this meek and humble one. Notice here in John, the fourth gospel of the New Testament, John the 13th chapter, and I begin with verse 4, where he introduces the inner man, Jesus Christ. He riseth from the supper, and laid aside the garments, and took a towel, and girded himself. And after that he poured water into a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter said unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter said unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet, Jesus. And Jesus answered him, He that is washed, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. And Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. And Jesus said to him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but he is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him, and therefore said he, Ye are not all clean. And so after he had washed their feet, and had taken his garments, and was set down again, he said unto them, Know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, Well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that ye should do as I have done unto you. Verily I say unto you, the servant is not greater than the Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. Now, you must understand that the context in which these words were written. It was not the 20th century, but the first century. It was not a time of paved roads. It was an arid country. Dust was everywhere. Filth was everywhere. There was no dainty hosiery, stockings, or socks, clean feet to wash. Bare feet, sandaled feet, dirty feet. Now, it was a custom in the days of Jesus that the servant would humbly wash the guest's feet before they entered the house. Now, if the host was a rich man, he would have his servant do it. But if he was a poor man, the first guest to come to the home would wash the feet of the other guests. Now, that must be in the minds of many people who go to church, because they never want to be the first there, but the last. And it seems like that's even more prevalent in a city church. But it was a custom that the first guest would wash the feet of those guests who would follow. Now, it's interesting to me when I read this story carefully and prayerfully that none of the disciples offered to wash the feet of the other disciples. Proud hearts, dirty feet. You see, in the context of the passage, I discovered three things about the humility of Jesus, the gentleness of Jesus, the servanthood of Jesus Christ. Three things. First, being a servant is unexpected and unannounced. Jesus never said, I'm going to demonstrate to you my humility. Jesus Christ did not say at that moment that I'm going to demonstrate to you how I feel about you, that I love you. He did not announce that this is the theological, philosophical idea of the kingdom of God, which I am here to establish. He just did it. It was unexpected. It was unannounced. It was something within Jesus Christ, the inner man, that said, I must humbly wash my disciples' feet because they have need to be washed. Great miracles and great blessings and great cleansing always comes about unexpectedly and unannounced. In the story of my Lord, he just slipped from the table, quietly pulled off his outer tunic, and with a towel and a basin in his hand, he quietly moved from man to man, unannounced, unexpected. And that's the beauty of this Christ, gentle and humble. I was at a college some time ago, and I was in the cafeteria. And I was online in the cafeteria, standing behind the kids, in front of me and behind me. And they were doing like most kids, griping about the food. It's very interesting to me that if they had cooked it, it would have been worse than that. But anyway, they were griping about it. And you give them that privilege. That's one privilege we want to give all the college kids and academy kids. The privilege to gripe about the food. You see, when they get older, they gripe about the cook. When they're young, they just gripe about the food. And I was making my way along the cafeteria line. And there was a young man up some few people who you could tell was having a problem. He had some motory problems, and his movements were awkward and strange. And he was trying to balance the tray with the food. And you could see he was having a rough time. And I was watching to see. And just then he turned away and the platter fell and all the food. And I watched the reactions of the kids. The inner man comes out. A few giggled, thought it was funny. There were some who were very close who were embarrassed. Perhaps for the boy, or maybe even so more embarrassed for themselves. And I stood there just for a moment, saying to myself, surely in this group there's someone who understands servanthood. And just then I heard a voice, and a girl stood up way on the other side of the cafeteria, a beautiful girl, intelligent, talented girl. I knew her because I was teaching at that college. And this girl jumped up and she said, Johnny, wait, let me help you, across the cafeteria. And that beautiful girl ran, literally ran across the cafeteria. She wasn't embarrassed. She didn't care what others thought. She didn't care what they were saying. She just ran to that young man. She knelt down beside all that food laying scattered across the floor. And she said, Johnny, you go back and get some food. I'll take care of this mess. What Jesus Christ is saying is this. The inner person acts as a servant and as a helper unannounced. And unexpected. And when it happens, there is the image of Jesus Christ. Unexpected. gentle and humble servant is unannounced and unexpected. But secondly, I discovered from this experience of Jesus washing the disciples' feet that being a servant includes great receiving graciously as well as giving graciously. And what do I mean? You see, we get the idea that servant is always serving. I came out of my house once when I was pastoring in Keene, Texas, and I was ready to run about the day and fill. My day was full of appointments and Bible studies and things I had to do, and I came rushing out of my house down the front stairs, and I looked over, and there was a woman digging in my shrubbery. Now, being where I come from Brooklyn, New York, first I was suspicious. Maybe she was making off with my shrubbery. Isn't that terrible? But then I noticed it was one of my members, so I knew that couldn't possibly happen if she was listening to my sermons every week. So I dismissed that idea. And so I quickly ran over and what are you doing? She said, "Oh, Pastor," she said, "I just wanted to do something for you." Now, I spent my whole life being trained to do for others. I built my ministry on the fact that I've got to be running 24 hours a day for others, or I'm not doing my work, and so I go home to bed guilty even after 16 hours. And here this woman is working on my shrubbery. Now, I know a lot about subways, a little bit about shrubbery. But I said, "Oh, no, let me help." And I got down, and I was digging, and I was trying to get active and be... And she says, "No, Pastor, go on your work. I'll do it. You just go." Being a servant does not mean only giving, but graciously receiving. And I learned that in the story of Jesus. I learned that again and again in the story of Jesus. You see, a gentle and humble servant is willing to open themselves in acts of unselfishness. It is willing to give, but it is also willing and be open to receiving. We are taught and instructed and brainwashed into believing that a servant always gives and never takes. Peter wouldn't accept someone doing something for him. He said, "Lord, you'll never wash my feet." He was the big fisherman. He had been called to do ministry. And so he thought that ministry means, "I'm just going to do for you. Don't you do anything for me, Jesus." And Jesus said, "Peter, unless you graciously receive, I cannot give you what I want to give you, living water, eternal water." My brother and sister, there's insight into that. You need to learn as a servant to graciously receive. The great problem with many, we do not know what we have graciously received from God. And therefore, we are very stingy when it comes to giving back to God. And so the servant of Jesus, Peter, and you know, there was insight into communion that I never had before when I read those words. Because you see, I thought when I read the words, "He that comes unworthily to the table," and I always had a guilt, heavy guilt. It was burdening me down. Why, here I am a hypocrite. I sin. But do you know that Christ was washing the feet of the disciples? He was carrying on this communion service with those disciples, even though in their hearts they were hypocrites. Even in their hearts they were about ready to betray him and in a few hours deny him. And yet he partakes with them because he graciously gives. And he says to the hypocrite and to the sinner, "Graciously receive." Graciously receive. But thirdly, being a servant is not a sign of inner weakness, but incredible strength. There is no way to remove the jab and the twist of Christ's words, for he said in effect to Peter, "If you do not allow me to wash your feet, then get out of here." Hey, that's inner strength. I'm tired of people viewing ministers as being great politicians. Because I'm the worst. Hey, I've got to admit it, I'm the worst. They don't put me on committees because I'm politically orientated or because I am very smooth. I am very open sometimes, too open. But I think there's a time when preachers need to be prophets and not politicians, don't you?
And there has to be an inner strength. And when you believe in something hard enough and long enough and strong enough, you've got to stand for it, even though it's not politically wise.
And so I may say things sometimes that are not politically wise, but I believe it's prophetically important.
My Lord Jesus said to Peter, "Look, if you don't want to do it, then get out of here, because I can't help you."
There comes a time within the church family that decisions must be made with humility, and decisions must be made in the context of the holiness of God and in the gentleness of God, and yet there must need to be inner strength. And then Peter said, "Well, Lord, hey, don't just wash my feet. Wash my head and my hands and all of me." Impetuous Peter. This summer, I'm going to do a series on the 12 apostles. And we're going to look at Peter. We may have to look at him for a few weeks, but because he's so impetuous and he's so much like I am. I'm sorry. I wish they could have sent you a Paul. But they sent you a Peter. And you're stuck. Amen. And you're stuck. But there's impetuous Peter. Jesus is washing his feet, about to wash his feet. He's humbly kneeling before him. And Peter says, "No." And then he says, "Look, Peter, if I don't wash your feet, you can't be clean." And he says, "Lord, wash me all over." As we go now together, as servants, may He wash us all over. And let us come back. And don't anyone in this congregation feel they are too unworthy to be served or to serve. I love my Lord because He's always doing for others. And He's always doing for me. Lord, wash me all over. And then I shall be clean. Father, which art in heaven, I thank You that humble hearts have clean feet and proud hearts have dirty feet. Humble us enough that we might serve and be served. We might love and be loved. We might forgive and be forgiven. In the name of Christ our Savior. Amen and amen. God bless you now. And we're going to depart now. And those of our visitors, we want you to serve with us. We want you to be a part of this family. And you're going to have to help me out, gentlemen, here. You just go out and they'll direct you to where we're going to be. They'll be downstairs in the choir room, the men. The men go out this door, right out here. Just come right down front here. This is my first communion here. Right down front. I'll follow you. I'll find my way there. And the women will go out that door. Isn't that nice? Okay. The women go out that door, and the men go down this door, but we'll come back together, and we'll find wives and husbands again. But let us now separate for our service of humility. The Bible says, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus Christ, the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He brake it and said, Take, eat. This is My body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of Me. And after the same manner also, He took the cup. And when He had supped, saying, This cup is a new testament in My blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of Me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till He come." May the Lord add His blessing upon the reading of His word.
Congregation to remain seated while we as elders kneel. for the prayer of blessing upon Campbell and his broken body. Gracious Father in heaven, we come to you today on bended knees, feeling unworthy to partake of these emblems and yet realizing that it's offered in graciousness to us.
Amen.
And in graciousness we reach out and accept. As we partake today, Father, of the emblem of your broken body and it becomes a part of us, may we find the life of Jesus renewed within us. May we find our lives changed. May we find us becoming vessels of his love to share with those about us, because we know his body was broken for us, unworthy though we be, and we love you for it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
This has been another classic sermon from the Archive of American Christian Ministries. This recording has been digitally reprocessed from the original audio cassette or reel-to-reel in order to make this CD available. The audio quality was improved as much as possible. International copyright, American Christian Ministries. All rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministries.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There is no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with our speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.